We have three big events that are happening in our country that I consider having worldwide implications. One is, tomorrow we'll celebrate Dr. King and the dream that as the nations of the world look what God has done. And so tomorrow, you know, we have a national holiday, and we celebrate that. And praise God for what he did through Dr. King. Second thing, also this week, Tuesday, we inaugurate the first African-American president of the United States. I tell you, from going and looking downtown where slaves were auctioned, there where the Griffin was in front of the Cotton Exchange, to coming to this day, hey, praise be to God. What a blessing to the nations of the world. And to see the transfer of power of government in an orderly fashion, not with murder and intrigue and all that happening. That is a blessing. That is a gift from God. And we're going to pray about that in just a moment. But you know, there's a third thing that's happening this week. Also this week is the anniversary of Roe v. Wade. Most dangerous place for a little child to be today is in the womb. We have slaughtered, as a nation, a whole generation. You look at the people that ought to be in those jobs, that ought to be at those colleges. I wonder how many Einsteins and Billy Grahams and Anne Graham Lotts and Mother Teresa that are in that group. So we celebrate two things this week, pray for, and the third one, we call out God for his mercy. And we ask God that he would turn that around, and even as a new Congress come into this nation, that there will not be a going back in any way, but a going forward and eventually getting to the place where abortion is not something that happens in this nation. Let's pray together. Lord, as we pray about these three things, they were so aptly put yesterday as I heard one of my brothers shared them, and God, quite frankly, I'd thought about two of them, but the third one I hadn't. I ask you forgiveness for that. Lord, as we pray, and I want to thank you for the life of Martin Luther King and for what he meant to this nation and to the world. There are people around the world that have hope. Have hope. And I thank you for that. And I thank you we live in a nation that still has people begging at its borders to get into, that we take for granted every day. Lord, I want to pray for our president-elect, Barack Obama. I ask you that the Spirit of God would be upon him as he takes office, and that you would lead him. That you would lead him by your Spirit, by your power. Lord, just as I have prayed for presidents in the past, I'm asking God that he would not listen to the many counselors who may or may not listen to you, but the first counselor he would listen to is God. I ask you for that. I pray your protection over him and his family. And Lord, we pray, we call out to you for your mercy for us as a nation, for the unborn. God, I pray that you would bring your truth and your justice to that arena of life, and that Roe v. Wade could be overturned, that it would be safe for those in the womb. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right. Now, I brought a couple of things today to show you. As we begin studying 1 Peter, I emailed you this week. I asked you to bring your Bible with you. If you forgot that? I hope you'll bring your Bible with you next week, and I'm purposely not using a PowerPoint today, nor will I probably use one next week. So won't you bring your Bible with you? Now, I happen to have two. Do you know what my favorite color for a Bible is? Okay. I like these. I like them any color as long as they're maroon. That's just a favorite of mine. And by the way, I've got an NIV that has a lot of notes on it floating around out there in the city of Savannah somewhere. I've also got a New American Standard that has been rebound, that if you picked it up in Forsyth Park, I'll get you another Bible if you get that one back to me. But two of my favorites I have somehow let get away from me. I encourage you, these are both study Bibles, and they have the text of the Scripture, and then they have notes in the bottom. This is the New American Standard Study Bible, and then this is the Life Application Study Bible. A lot of different translations out there. You know what the best translation is? Which one is the best one? The one you'll read. One you'll read. And I can quibble with you. I can. We can get into arguments about all that stuff. I'll wow you with all the details about all of them. But hey, the one you need is the one you'll read. So, poet don't know it. Remember that this week. I have my personal preference is. I like a more literal translation, and the most literal one that is out there today is New American Standard, as far as word by word. NIV gets phrase by phrase. New Living gets sentence by sentence. Message probably gets paragraph by paragraph. And we'll go on from there. It's just different preference for you. I like to have several of them, and you might even have one that Megan has one that I've been trying to steal from her, but I have a hardback version that I'm suffering through. But it has columns of two translations. No, you can't see that. Two columns, and there's even one that has four translations. Now, I encourage you to let's take a little survey right here. Turn to the title page of your Bible if you have it here, and maybe you already know this. How many of you have the New American Standard Bible with you right now? Would you raise your hand right now? That's what you're carrying today. Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you have the NIV, the New International Version? That's what you're carrying today. Okay? How many of you have the New Living Translation? Would you put your hand up? Okay? All right? How many of you are carrying the Good News Bible? Would you put your hand up? For you, the only one here. I did that for you, by the way. How many of you have the Revised Standard Version with you? Anybody? How many of you have the King James Version with you today? I did that for you, Dad. Okay. All right. And how many of you have the Biblia Hebraica with you today? Stuttgart-Tensia version. No, none of you have that. Or how many have the Nestle's Greek New Testament? Yeah. Okay, all right. Just wanted to see where we were. All right. What I want you to do is to take seriously this study for this time in 1 Peter. To do the online things that are provided for you. And to read the passage that is coming. And you'll be ready when you come in here on Sunday. It'll be amazing what God is going to speak to you. Now, why would we study the Word of God? Well, there's several reasons. First of all, because it is the Word of God. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter and verse 16. It says there, all Scripture is, literally it says, God-breathed, theonoustos, inspired. That's the word, inspired. All Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. So God breathed out this book. He has given us this book. There's no other book like it that has ever been. Here it is. It was assembled over a 2,000-year period. 66 books that are put together that have one theme in it. God and His plan of redemption for mankind. Look at all the people that He used to put all of this together. 39 Old Testament books, 27 New Testament books. It is amazing. And they're all assembled here and they fit together like a glove. That is an amazing thing. Turn to Psalm, the first Psalm. We're going to look at two Psalms there very quickly. Psalm 1. The first Psalm. It says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Now, have you heard anybody calling out that needed direction this week? Anybody at work? Man, I need to know what to do. Hey, do you hear that from our treasury here in the United States? Do you hear it from our Congress? Maybe our Congress does need to be calling out. We don't know what to do. We're just throwing darts out there and maybe something will work. All those promises they made about the bailout. And now, look at it. Look at it. It's going to be more and more and more. We'll throw money at it. And what I'm saying here is what the psalmist is saying. Blessed is man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked. But his delight, verse 2, is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he does meditate both day and night. He'll be like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, it prospers. His delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight is in God's word. His delight is in what God's counsel is, in what God has to say about it. Because at last, whose opinion matters? In the beginning, God. If you take that, all else fits together, doesn't it? It makes sense after that. If God can speak this world into existence, then His Word must be powerful. In fact, His Word is spoken of as being sharper than a two-edged sword. When it goes out, it divides. I mean, it cuts, doesn't it? Or is it just me that it cuts when I read the Word? Turn to the 119th Psalm. And by the way, you know how the 119th Psalm is laid out? Have any of y'all got any little squigglies in the divisions of... That looked like a chicken walked over the page. Yeah, you got a little squiggly right there. You know what those are? That's the Hebrew alphabet. the Hebrew alphabet. That's how he laid out Psalm 119. I just want to read the first few verses of Psalm 119. How blessed are those whose way is blameless. And again he says, and who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe His, capital H, testimonies. Whose testimonies? His word. His view of what life ought to be. Who seek after Him with all their heart. Skip down to verse 4. You have ordained your precepts that we should walk in them diligently. Where are His precepts laid out? In the Word of God. Do you see? And what a miracle that we have this book put together. It is God's breath to us. Okay, many other scriptures we go to as I'm making a case there. Why study 1 Peter? Because it's the Word of God. It's the Word of God for today. Went back and tried to read a newspaper from 2 weeks ago. I was looking for advertisement in there about something, and I was reading one of the headlines. Old news. I had absolutely no interest in reading. I looked at it and I said, you know, that doesn't make sense. That's old stuff. That quickly, it's passé. How about this book? It ain't gone out of style yet, has it? It's clearer than ever before. And you let the economy go south even further and start tanking. And let me tell you, I'm going to make a prediction for you. You let stuff start happening in the world like it's happening, and more Gaza Strip, and more Lebanon rockets, and more Russians rattling the sabers, and more Chinese trying to take over the economy of the world. You let all that stuff, and I'll tell you, I'll make a prediction for you. The sales of this book are going to go up. Because this people know that this book stands. Okay, just a few brief things about some pointers for you as you're reading 1 Peter, as you're studying the Bible. And I realize for some of you this is a brand new thing. You've never looked at a book of the Bible and said, well, I'm going to go and I'm just going to study that verse by verse. It'd be a brand new thing for you. That's all right. You're in good company. And for all that we've had to go through this, and you know what? Some of us old dogs need to learn, don't we? Huh? Can God teach old dogs new tricks? You better believe it. I'm counting on it. I'm counting on it. Okay, need to have your readable Bible. You need to start setting some time aside that you can spend in the Word. At the end of it, those emails that Rick sends you out each day, you know what the trick of those is? Rick is trying to manipulate you into reading the Bible. Aren't you, Rick? Now, true confession today, you're trying to manipulate all these people into reading the Bible, aren't you? Okay, now you've heard it here. Right here. The truth has come forth, and the truth will set you free. So now he doesn't have to worry about that this week. He can write with a flair, and he does, being the English person that he is. All right. You need a plan. Now, we got a plan going on for you right now that's being emailed to you. And if you're not getting that plan by email, let us know. We'll get it to you, carrier pigeon, something. We'll get the plan to you. And I'm encouraging you. Remember I told you I got me a new journal? Isn't it beautiful? Isn't it beautiful? I paid a dollar more for this one. I stepped up to the big time. I figured 2009, you know, what the heck, I'm going to blow it all and get a real nice one. And so I spent a $1.87 instead of 87 cents at Walmart on them. But you need a journal, something that you can just write your stuff down. I chose not to spoon feed you today by going through something that's already digested up on that screen today. I chose to bring you all this mess here today because this is what the top of my desk looks like. I've got all this stuff going, and I'm looking at this, and I lay that down, and I look at this, and I write this in here. And I want you to see the process. And I'm carrying this around right now, so I want you to see that this actually happened. It's something that you actually do. You actually have to take a pen and write in here. Okay? That's another thing. Okay. There are a lot of online tools that will help you with the study. Rick is giving you some great sites to go to. One of the best there is biblos.com. You can go and look at all these translations. If you want to get some information about some actual software that you can have resident on your computer, see one of us. I'd probably be the best one to talk to about that. I've got several of them, and I'll be willing to share that with you. Are you following me so far? Okay. Now, turn to 1 Peter with me for just a minute. 1 Peter. I want to read these first two verses. Now, 1 Peter was one of the earliest books written in the New Testament. And it starts out, let me just read the first two verses. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with His blood. May grace and peace be yours in fullest measure. Now let me unpack that in the next 3 minutes for you. Peter. It's common in that time, and when you're writing a letter, and this is called one of the general letters. In other words, when this letter was written, it was distributed to a lot of people, as it shows here, all these people in Pontus, Cappadocia, Bithynia, Asia, Galatia. Now, if you look at those places and chart them on a map, you'll see that there's a great similarity with those places. And go back to Acts 2, when the Spirit of God came upon the church in Jerusalem, that's where all those people were that had gathered there in Jerusalem, and then God sent them out, baptized in the Holy Spirit with the gifts of the Spirit, full of Jesus to the world, and here Peter is writing them a letter. All these people that have been scattered. Let me tell you, God can scatter His church. He can move us wherever He wants to move. You say, oh, I shall not be moved. I won't go any other place. Hey, let me tell you, you don't have control over it. God can move you whenever He decides to move you, according to His will, and He'll do it. And a lot of Jews stayed in Jerusalem then and said, we're not leaving Jerusalem. You know what happened a few years later? Now, if this book was written, if 1 Peter was written in the 40s, sometime in the 40s AD, by 70 AD, you know, 25 years later, they had no choice because the Romans came in and they leveled Jerusalem and all those people had to leave anyway. And they were scattered. So, what I'm saying to you is God has control. Now, generally the form was to write a letter, A to B. Peter, an apostle, one who is sent out. Word apostle means one who's sent out by God to those who reside as aliens. It uses the word alien. Some of your translations say sojourners. Alien. Why would he call these people aliens? They belong to Jesus. That's right. They are living in tents in this world. We as believers in Jesus Christ are living in tents in this world. This is not our final residence. We're guests here. We belong to Jesus, and we're going to spend forever with Him. Love that old sermon. Living in tents, looking for a city. The city of God. We're going to spend forever with Him. It's just, we're temporarily passing through this time. Now, if you've got Jesus in your life and you feel like an alien, then you know what? You're feeling the right thing. Because you don't belong to this world. Now, I'm not calling on you to be weird in the name of Jesus. Be strange in the name of Jesus. Be an idiot in the name of Jesus. I don't believe in any of that. But I'm telling you, there are things in your heart, you know you don't belong to all that garbage that's going on in the world. Right? I hope you see that. I hope, and the longer we really walk with Jesus, the longer He makes that clear to us. That's part of our discipleship. All right. Then He says in verse 2, according, these are the chosen people, chosen out by God. I said to you last week, we're chosen people. God knew that we were going to live at this time and at this place. He knew that those people were going to live at that time. They were the chosen people by God. As He looked from eternity past, He could see these people are going to live at this time, and I'm putting them in this time zone with this set of circumstances. And boy, that is a great pleasure to me to know that I'm not here by some accident. I'm not here by some screw-up in some evolutionary scheme. I am here by the plan and the purpose of God. He put me at this time, at this place, just like He put them. Aren't you glad He put Peter there? I mean, what other scenario would Peter have fit into? I mean, here's Peter, the guy who just, you know, he would speak up when he was supposed to shut up. He'd shut up when he was supposed to speak up. I mean, he was a guy that just, he operated out of his emotion a lot of time. I guess that's why I identify with him a lot. Just sometimes you just get ready, you feel like you could just go jump off a cliff somewhere. And you see him doing it. Chosen people. They were chosen, we're chosen. According to the foreknowledge of God. I want you to know today, there's some people who are saying God doesn't know everything. There's some Christian teaching going on that is actually teaching today that says God doesn't know everything. I want you to know that is a lie. God knows everything. He knows everything's going to happen. You know why He knows it? Because He's God. Do you know He even created time? Ooh. Let me give you another. You know something God can't do? There's something God can't do. He can't lie. Because He's God. Chosen people. I want you to see. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Get this now. By the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with His blood. Right there in one verse, what do you have? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's another heresy out there. There's no triune God. There He is. One God in three persons right there. Right there in God's Word, in one verse. Now, the Father could see His foreknowledge. The Spirit was doing His sanctifying work. You know what happens when you get saved and He comes and we allow Him to come by faith to come and baptize us with His Spirit and immerse us in Himself. He begins a process of sanctifying us. There's a sense in which He has sanctified us. And what the word sanctify means? It means to make holy, to make us according to His image. And there's a sense in which He has done that positionally. That is a completed work. We have been saved. But a work that is going on, a work that He is knocking off all the stuff, like that story I've told you in the past, you know? How do you, that exquisite dog guy looking at this dog, how did that guy carve that thing out of that piece of wood? Well, he looked at a piece of wood and he knocked off everything that didn't look like a dog. Jesus is doing that for us. He's looking at us, and His process of sanctification, of making us holy, is knocking off everything that doesn't look like Him. It's painful sometimes, isn't it? When He gets the carving tools out for our life and our lifestyle. Okay. Here it is. Oop. Turn the pages here. And to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with His blood. The gospel of Jesus is that He covers us with His blood. And we're obeying Him. We're submitting ourselves in obedience to Him. Peter was writing to people who were scattered out as aliens, and he was calling on them to obey Jesus, even in the midst of difficult times. And one of the background things that I hadn't told you about 1 Peter is that later on we'll see that Peter refers to the place that he's writing as Babylon. Over in the 5th chapter, he'll refer to that. These writing from Babylon. I believe that, you know, the Babylon of that day was just a little small town over in the Tigris and Euphrates. Very, very small. I believe he is referring to the picture of Babylon, which is Rome. And he's writing from Rome to all these people. And what's going on while he's there in Rome at that time? Nero is emperor. And there's great persecution that is beginning for the church, for all those who claim the name of Christ. In fact, a lot of the Jews were getting so mad because they were confusing the people, the Jews and the Christians. And they were persecuting the Jews too. Well, they had already gotten a good head start on that anyway. They were already doing that. But here he is writing for hope for these people who were scattered to all these places. And the final thing he says there, may grace and peace be yours in fullest measure. Grace, getting something you don't deserve, and peace. The only real and lasting peace is the peace that God makes. Isn't it interesting that every president for the last 50, 60 years, or 50 years, for sure, because that's when it was born, what have they wanted to do at the end of their tenure as President of the United States? What has every president since 1948 tried to do at the end of his presidency? Anybody know? Peace in the Middle East. Has any of them succeeded? Huh? Not a one. Because you know why? Because only God can make peace. Not an American president. It's only God who can bring peace to your heart. Peter was writing to people who were scattered as aliens across the world who needed encouragement. I'm asking you today, do you need encouragement? Do you today? Do you need an attaboy, attagirl? You know, do you feel the, you know, somebody's boot on your neck? Do you feel in some places like the air is being sucked out of the room you're living in? Maybe it's time to call out for the one who identifies with you, who knows what you're going through, and who will bring you His grace and His peace in the midst of some awful circumstances. Because the circumstances of this world do not control the Lord Jesus. He is Lord over all. And He is Lord of your circumstances. I don't care what hellhole that you feel like you're going to go back into this week, the circumstances. And I know it's January, and I know it's cold weather, and it's bad weather. And I know people, there are some people that you know that are losing their jobs. And I know there's unrest in the economy, and I know there's all this that is about, and it's enough to get you right along with George Bailey out on that bridge in the snow and thinking about diving in there and ending it all. But I know that God has sent His messengers to you. Now, it might not be the angel Clarence, but He sent His word to you and said, "Fear not, I am with you, even unto the end of the age." And when He's with me, what else do I need? Let's bow our heads. God's spoken to you today. I don't know if I've ever said that much in that little bit of time. We've been a lot of places today. But somewhere and something that has been done in the music and what's been spoken, what's been prayed today, there's got to be some Holy Spirit Velcro that's going to stick to your soul. And I'm going to pray that right now. Lord, today, Lord Jesus, I know I've backed us up to the water hydrant, and turned on the big hose and said, "Get a drink of water." I'm praying right now for Holy Spirit Velcro, that there'll be something in this day that's going to stick to our soul as we leave here. Lord, may You do that right now in our lives. In Jesus' name. The altar's open. Pastors, life group leaders, if you would, kind of spread out here. If you want to pray, here's your opportunity right now. We're not going to drag this out today. So, what you do, do quickly.